This copyrighted audio file from the writings of David S. Lample is offered free of charge to the glory of God the Father and the praise of Jesus Christ our Lord. Detailed copyright and resource information is included at the end of this file.
This session 87 of our study of 1 Corinthians I have entitled Portrait of a Slave. Our passage is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 16 to 18. It is customary to study the details of a scripture passage, then follow that with application, contemporary application for us today. Well, today I'd like to reverse that and begin with the application, which of course we'll return to at the end. If you'll permit me, I'd like to claim the privilege of the teacher to reveal a personal application. Every follower of Christ is given by Him a gift, a skill, along with accompanying marching orders. That is, every believer is given an ability and then guidance. And admittedly, sometimes the guidance is administered with a 2x4. Guidance on how to use that ability for the kingdom of Christ. As Paul will delineate in chapter 12, there are many different gifts. All are from God. All are necessary. One person's gift is not necessarily superior to another's. All are needed in the body of Christ. I take this opportunity, if you will indulge me, because in the passage before us I discover myself. Verses 16 to 18 comprise, in a sense, my biography in the Lord. Not that I have the same gift as the Apostle Paul, but that his calling from the Lord for the employment of that gift is the same as mine, and perhaps the same as yours. Mine is in no way unique. I do not propose to claim that my gift or the employment thereof is unique. Not at all. And to be clear, I did not read this passage and say to myself, hey, that's a good idea. I think I'll make this the pattern of my life. No. Rather, after the Lord implemented it in my life, I then discovered the same pattern, the same calling described here in His Word in the life of Paul. Several biographical phrases leap out at me from this passage. My guess and my hope is that some of you will discover your own biography, or at least parts of it, here as well. In verse 16, he says, I am under compulsion. That which I do in the name of the Lord, I must do. I have no choice. How do I know this? Because, also in verse 16, woe is me if I do not. We discover our compulsion by a simple process. When we do not do it, when we purposely stop doing it, we are miserable. We feel it in our bones. We feel it in our spirit and heart. God, through His Holy Spirit, nags at us until we are back at it, and only then is our misery relieved. Then Paul says in verse 17, a stewardship entrusted to me. Here is the key realization and requisite motivation. And I say motivation because to apprehend that the Lord has entrusted a stewardship to you, that is motivating. That is a motivating factor in following His will in your life. But here, whatever the gift, God has selected you. He has selected me specifically for that task. He has called each of us with a special gift and a special situation, and said, "Here, I entrust this to you." Not that other guy, not your neighbor, not your best friend, not your pastor, but you. These are our holy marching orders, which will become eventually, if in our obedience we do follow them, our job description. In verse 18, Paul writes, "What then is my reward?" And here's where we lose the word. This is the door opening up into a room that the world does not understand. They simply have no basis to understand it. They just shake their heads in disbelief. "What then is my reward? That I may offer the gospel without charge." This is also where there is a demarcation within the body of Christ. Some are called, as Paul pointed out in verses 7 to 11, to gain their living by their gifts. They put a roof over their heads, they pay their bills, they feed their family by means of the employment of their God-given gifts and calling, their marching orders. So long as this is in obedience to the Lord's call, it is an honorable and appropriate profession. Others, however, are called to serve without charge. And I dare say, in varying degrees, this applies to the majority of believers. In my own case, I can weave my own biography into this passage. Let me insert those personal things into this passage. And let us pray that I not be struck down by lightning. "For if I write and teach, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not write and teach. For if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. What then is my reward? That when I serve the Lord with the gifts he has entrusted to me, I may offer these gifts without charge." Now, in a moment, we'll read the passage as written, so let's hope that the lightning will hold off until then. Of course, very often this realization, the understanding and apprehension of gifts and call, does not happen overnight. We may take a number of wrong turns before the Spirit gets us going in the right direction. This was the pattern years ago in my own situation. Whenever I sought recompense for employing my gifts, not only did it not work very well, I was always left feeling a bit queasy about the process, as if there was something unseemly about it. And early on, I couldn't really identify it. I just know I had that feeling in the pit of my belly. Just didn't feel right. By contrast, whenever I gave away the product of my gifts, I felt much better about it, and the Lord blessed the effort. One example comes to mind. Early on, some of my plays were published by a house in the United States. Published in hardback, or not hardback, but published in printed form and sold by them. I think my royalties on that amounted to a few dollars. Not much. But once I realized that this was not the direction the Lord wanted me to go, and I created a website as a place to archive my material and make it available to everyone free of charge. That they just had to download it, that's all. After that, instead of my plays reaching just a handful of people, my plays shot around the world. And at last count, something in excess of 1 million downloads of my plays. See the difference? When I say the Lord blessed that, when I found the right direction, when I gave in to the correct direction, the one that was part of His will, He blessed it beyond measure. Eventually, the Spirit wielded His trusty 2x4 enough times to get it through my thick skull. Like Paul, I was to offer the products of my God-ordained gifts without charge. Period. Full stop. Now, let's read our passage, the not my version of it, but the real passage. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 15 to 18. But I have used none of these things, and I am not writing these things, so that it will be done so in my case. For it would be better for me to die than have any man make my boast an empty one. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For I am under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. What then is my reward? That when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel without charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. So let's look at verse 16. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion. The apostle cannot boast about anything in himself regarding his position, because it is not based on personal choice. He didn't choose to do this. He didn't elect to do it. He didn't have a list of possibilities and pick one. No, he is simply obeying the marching orders he received personally from Christ. We all know the story. It's familiar. That Damascus Road moment. And that word compulsion, anunke, it includes the idea of pain. It means constraint. And it implies distress, but more to the point, necessity. It needs to be done. I have to do this. I need to do this. Garland calls it a pressing necessity. So the ESV is a good translation, very literal. Necessity is laid upon me. That's it. He didn't decide that he had to do this. It was laid upon him, this compulsion, this necessity. The prophet Jeremiah offers us a glimpse into the inner workings of such a God-driven compulsion. Turn, please, to Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 20. Jeremiah 20. And let's read verses 8 to 9. For each time I speak, I cry aloud. I proclaim violence and destruction. Because for me the word of the Lord has resulted in reproach and derision all day long. But if I say, I will not remember him or speak any more in his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. And I am weary of holding it in, and I cannot endure it. Man, that is the picture. That is it. I speak from experience, personal experience. That is, Jeremiah nailed it. That is the picture of compulsion. God-driven compulsion. If you don't do it, you're miserable. You're burning up. You have to do it. It's important to that we keep this in mind. Paul had no choice, no vote in the matter. And not only this, he will hint at it in the next verse and state explicitly elsewhere, for example, Romans 6, 15 to 22, that he and all believers are literal slaves, or if you feel better, bond servants. But the word means slave. Slave, literal slaves to God. Slaves do not choose to do something. They are told to do something. And then Paul continues in this verse, "For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." There it is. As in verse 15, there is a greater depth and emotion beneath the surface of this clause. Woe is me does not mean that he would experience some form of inner distress or feel badly. I'd feel badly if I did not preach the gospel. No, not at all. There is an almost eschatological context for this. His life, his destiny is now divinely appointed. Were he now to not preach the gospel, he would stand under divine judgment. That is the woe he speaks of. Divine judgment. I want to add a note here. Do you see how this helps clarify his use of the word boast that we looked at in our last session? There is absolutely nothing about which he can personally boast. Aren't I a great guy for doing all this for free? No. He is simply a slave obeying the orders of his master. There's nothing in himself of which he can boast. Nothing. He's just obeying orders. At the same time, however, this is not a picture of a hangdog slave bemoaning his lot in life. Oh, not at all. Preaching only because he is being forced to. No, that's not the picture of Paul at all. To the contrary, his woe is not from preaching, but only comes into play if he doesn't preach. The compulsion Paul speaks of is not arm-twisting obedience suffered under the rod. This compulsion is an inner fire or an unrelenting, personal, yet divinely ordained drive that he is helpless to resist and does not want to. He cannot and he does not want to resist it. He must do it. He has a passion for it. He is driven to do it. Now verse 17. For if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. Taken at face value, not only is this verse a little confusing, hard to understand what he's saying, I find most of the translations of this verse less than satisfying. I just read the NASB where it uses voluntarily, against my will. New King James, willingly, against my will. The NIV versions, voluntarily, not voluntarily. And ESV, of my own will, not of my own will. It's not that the translations are inaccurate, but that the English words chosen leave, I believe, an erroneous impression. Take the New King James, for example. Using willingly sounds like okay, I'll agree to do this. You're willing to do something that somebody else wants you to do. And then using against my will sounds like you're doing it only because your arm is being twisted or that somebody's put a gun to your head. Neither of which represent what Paul is saying here. Probably the NIVs and the ESV get the closest to expressing what Paul means, with the ESV the better of the two. In the two parts of this verse, the apostle is contrasting the free person to the slave, with himself being the slave. In the first part, the person of free will, of my own will, decides to do something or decides to take a job and is thus due a wage. The word translated reward, misthos, means pay for service, wages. One does the work, one is due pay for that work from those for whom the work is done. Just like almost everyone's job, that's it. In the second part, the slave, who works not of his own will, but of someone else's, that is, his master, does not make the decision himself, but does what he is told, and is not due a wage from those for whom the work is done. If the slave is to be paid at all, it will come from his master. He is the one he serves. The word translated stewardship refers to a slave who has been entrusted with a managerial responsibility in a house or estate, such as Joseph was for Potiphar in Egypt. Paul's point is this, that as an apostle and slave, he has been given the responsibility as a steward to bring gain to his master, not to himself. Here's the picture. One commentator writes, the royal officer or estate steward who has a commission does not get wages from the people he manages or from the fields and laborers he supervises, but from the ruler or master he serves. And David Garland adds, Paul cannot receive a reward from the Corinthians, who are the field in which he plants. It can come only from the owner of the field who commissioned him to plant, which would be the Lord Jesus. And in none of this is Paul under the gun, so to speak. None of this, and this is the problem I have with our many translations, none of this implies an unwillingness on his part. He is more than happy to do this. His arm isn't being twisted. He isn't doing this grudgingly. It's his passion to serve his Lord in this way and for free. Now, verse 18. What then is my reward? That when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel without charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. Here's where we lose the denizens of this world. We expect Paul to reference his future rewards in heaven, don't we? When he says, what then is my reward? We expect to say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be rewarded for the work I've been doing. That's what we expect. We expect him to reference his future rewards in heaven, but he does not even do that. No, his reward, his wage, his salary, is the privilege of offering the gospel without charge. The free gospel offered for free. The reason? So that he will not misuse what is rightfully his in the gospel. He has the right to a wage. He has the right to be supported. But his purpose, his reason for this, is that he would not misuse that right. Now, in conclusion, let me close by illustrating this for today's culture. just one example of how it can be done or might be done. How might this translate into our present culture? We live in a connected and interconnected society. Our, quote, relationships, end quote, would be diagrammed like an intricate, dense spider web, going in all directions. One connection leading to several more, and each of those connected to a multitude of more connections. An integral part of these myriad connections are dependencies. And one modern example of this would be Facebook. Facebook is a perfect example of today's interconnectivity. But it relies upon one fragile dependency: Facebook itself. If you have established a presence on Facebook, that is something more than just a personal, here's what I'm up to today site for friends and family, you are beholden to the powers that be at Facebook, especially if you are a conservative Christian. At a whim and in the blink of an eye, they can shut you down and turn you off. Everything you have invested in establishing that presence can be turned off like flipping off a light switch. This is what Paul was determined to avoid with the Corinthians. He was not ultimately serving them, but the Lord God and the gospel of Christ. He could not risk being beholden to any one church, but must remain free to serve all, as well as free to do it for free. Thinking in terms of ministry, what is the online equivalent to the sort of independence Paul needed? Well, instead of using Facebook, you have an independent website where there are no anonymous pinheads ready to shut you down because they disagree with your doctrine or theology. At my website, there are no ads, no begging for money, no encouraging the visitor to contribute to the site's upkeep, no cross-links to other sites. My website is simply a repository for my work. You might say, preaching the gospel, where everyone and anyone can obtain whatever they like free of charge. This is how the Apostle Paul worked. He was free to do it for free. And his reward? The privilege and joy of giving it all away in service to his master.
Thank you for using our Bible study resources. This has been the audio version of our weekly printed session notes. It is copyright 2019 by David S. Lample, but is offered free of charge and may be freely shared. All printed and audio notes are available in the Bible studies section of our website at dlample.com. This website also includes our monthly devotional, Reflections by the Pond, as well as archives of our devotional publications, made available for almost 30 years. Unless otherwise indicated, scripture in this audio file is from the New American Standard Bible, updated edition, copyright Lachman Foundation. Greek and Hebrew citations and definitions are from Strong's Greek and Hebrew Dictionary and the NASB Greek Hebrew Dictionary. All resources, both at our devotional site, dlample.com, and our His Company Christian Drama site, hc.dlample.com, are offered free of charge in acknowledgement of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. For more information about who we are, please visit the About Us page at our website.